Heavenly Father, we bless you this evening. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be back in the house of God. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done this day, Lord. Thank you for those that tarried before these altars, that tarried at your feet. Thank you, Lord, for the words of prophecy that went forward. Thank you, Lord, just for the healing, God, that we're believing for. And Lord, we ask for your continued grace and mercy in our service tonight. Lord, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask for that anointing tonight to be upon your word. And Father, I pray for that anointing to preach and teach as you desire. Lord, that you would lead and guide and direct this service. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing that we can hear and receive everything that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us tonight. And Lord, we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody says amen, amen, amen. Well, hallelujah. We're back in the house of God tonight. We're going to be digging down deeper in this concept in Ephesians chapter 4. We're looking at verses 1 through 3. And really and truly, what we're the first message really kind of centered on is our union with the Holy Spirit. Amen? How many of you know that it's one thing to have unity in the church? It's one thing to have brotherly unity. But you know that that has to be born out of union to God first. Amen? But these things are not one or the other. They are actually enjoined together. And if we truly have union with the Holy Spirit, then we're truly going to be a brother or a sister to one another in the way that God wants us to be. Amen? But one of the things that we see here is we're going to read in verse 1, 2, and 3, and we're going to get a couple of points that I want to finish out as far as your union with the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to turn it and go in a whole nother way, which is our unity with one another. So let's read. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's so important that the church endeavors to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because the things that God asks you to do, to forbear one another in love, right? Sometimes you forbear one another as you grit your teeth. But God said, forbear one another in love and have lowliness. You know, these things in and of itself are so hard to do. And you cannot do the things that God asks you to do without the helper. Can I get a witness? See, the Holy Spirit has come to equip us to do the things that God has called us to do, to fulfill the purpose and the plan of God in our life. If we try to love our spouse or love our children or love our grandchildren or love our brothers or sister in the Lord, one of the things that you'll find is that your love has limitations, but the love of God, amen, surpasses all those things, amen. Love never fails. Now, one of the things that I want to point out, the word endeavoring means to purpose, and you have a vocation that God has called you to do, and you have a calling on God, from God, to purpose to stay in this union with God. One of the most important things that we talked about this morning is that unity means oneness, that God has called you to a place of being one with the Holy Spirit. There should not be any degree of separation between you and the Spirit of God. If there's a degree of separation, if there's an area in my life that I know the Holy Ghost doesn't like, and I avoid that area, amen, then I know I'm wrong. The Lord is calling us to a place of oneness or unity with the Holy Spirit. And as I do that, how many of you know when I'm doing that, I'm going to be acting and treating my brother or sister in the Lord the right way? The Holy Ghost is not going to lead me to treat them wrong. He's not going to lead me to be unforgiving or unloving. He's not going to lead me to be impatient and unkind. He's not going to lead me to push others down so that I can be lifted up. He's going to call me to lay down my life that others may live. He's going to call me to be kind to those that mistreat me. He's going to call me to love those that don't love me. Amen. One part that I want to get on before we move forward is that you have to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Look over in just chapter 5 of the same book, verse number 18. It says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This is the inflow that I want you to see. You have a calling and a command from God to not be drunk with wine. If you got a problem there, you need to highlight it. But don't be drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. It's not don't be drunk with wine, just drink some water instead, but it's that you cut one thing out, but you have something else coming in. There's an inflow that has to be there in your life. If you don't have the inflow of the Spirit of God, if you're not being filled with the Spirit of God, what you're doing is you're being filled with the world. You cannot have both. You're going to be filled with one and not both, but God has called you to cut things out so that God can have this inflow in our lives. So in order for us to have union with God, we have to purpose in our lives to be filled with God. We have to purpose in our life to get down on our face, to take time to pray. That old song, take time to be holy. We've got to take that time that is necessary that God can fill us again. Because I promise you, we don't need what each other has. We need what God has. Amen. I need to hear from the Lord. I need to feel the Lord's touch. I need the Lord's light in my life. I need the comfort and the tender affection that comes from God, not man. Amen. We need the Spirit of God in our life. And in order for us to begin to be who God's called us to be, we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. So you can't, if you think that you can do all the things that you need to do in and of yourself, you've got it wrong. First off, that's the inflow. But what I want you to see is that this inflow, staying filled with the Holy Spirit, is part of it. We talked on this morning, you have to stay pure. Amen. You can't be unequally yoked. You can't have concord between Christ and Belial. You have to come out from among them. So one thing is you got to stay pure. Another thing is you got to stay filled up. Amen. Now, I want to show you one more. Turn with me to the book of Psalm 86. Turn with me to Psalm 86. The third one that I want to teach you about is you got to stay bound and teachable unto God. It's so important as the children of God that we keep our hearts sensitive to the Lord. One of the things that I always talk about in our generation is we have it backwards, where our generation wants to tell God what to do, especially when you get into the name it, claim it, and word faith kind of crowd. They want to shape and mold God into their own image. They want to tell God what they want, when they want, and how they want it. And when it don't come that way, they're going to get mad. But what they are wanting to do is they want to be the potter, and they want God to be the clay. But it's actually backwards. How many of you know that God's the potter, and we're the clay? What does a potter do with clay that's unmoldable? What does God do with clay that's brittle, that won't bend, that won't be fashioned, that won't be corrected? God's got to do a supernatural work in that clay, doesn't he? Amen. So one of the most important characteristics that God's looking for in his children, in his disciples, is a teachable heart. If you'll learn, listen, if you'll learn to get a teachable heart, God will take you into that purpose and plan he has for your life. But if you're unteachable, if nobody can teach you anything, if you won't listen to the Spirit of God, if you sit there with your arms crossed and folded and that stern look and nobody can tell me to do nothing, I don't even like you anyways, I'm just here because I want to be here, then you're not going to be used by God in the way that God wants to use you. God's looking for teachable people. Amen. He's looking for people that have a heart that is willing to be led where the Holy Ghost leads. So important. If you're going to have union with the Holy Spirit, aren't you going to have to follow the Spirit? Amen. Look what he says in Psalm 86, verse number 11. Psalm 86, verse number 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Bind my heart to you, Lord. I want to love what you love. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. Bind my heart to fear your name. How many of you know that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord? Amen. And it's not that you're afraid of God, like you're shivering, but it's that you don't want to be away from God, that you don't want to miss God, that you don't want to go on your own. How many of you have lived life on your own before? How many of you know what it's like to make your own decisions without the counsel of God? How many of you know what it's like to live without the protection of God on your life? How many of you know what that feels like and remember those days? Lord, I don't want to go there anymore. I want to stay right where you're at. I want to walk where you tell me to walk. I want to stay on that straight and narrow path. Unite my heart to fear your name. Teach me your ways. I will walk in those things. I will go where you want me to go. This speaks so profoundly of the need in our lives to be teachable and correctable, to listen to God's voice, to be united to the Spirit of God, and to love what He tells us to love. Amen? Here we see an important truth that God's looking for us to have our hearts bound to Him. How many of you know that sometimes things happen? One of the commentaries, John Wesley was writing on this, and he said that oftentimes time and circumstances have their way of unhitching us from God. Think about that, time and circumstances. But I don't want time or circumstances to create any degree of separation between me and the Spirit of God. See, sometimes things don't happen when you think they should happen, right? I've been praying for this for 3 minutes and nothing's happened. I've been praying for this for 3 minutes and God hasn't moved yet. I guess He just wants me to do it. I guess He just wants me to take the matter in my own hands. Don't let time take you away from being united to the Spirit of God. Wait on God. Amen. Lord, bind my heart to Thee. If I need to wait, let me wait. Give me that heart to wait. Let me not wait on God. Let me wait with God. Let me sit in this place and wait with Him and enjoy His presence as I'm waiting. Help me, Lord, to have that heart to love You like I'm supposed to love You, even if I'm waiting. I know I'm not waiting alone. I'm not waiting on God to move. I'm waiting with God for the right time. I'm waiting with Him. It changes everything. When you realize you're not looking at your watch waiting on God to move. No, I'm united with the Spirit of God, and He's here waiting with me for the right time to move. It changes everything. Then the other thing that can cause a degree of separation between you and the Spirit of God is circumstances. Sometimes things just aren't fun. Sometimes we go through the fire of affliction, and God's refining us, and God's showing us that even when the bottom falls out, He's got us. God's showing us things in every circumstance, but a lot of times our flesh don't like the circumstances we're in. But Lord, help me to see You in those circumstances. Bind my heart to You, Lord. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Bind my heart to You. It's this union with the Holy Spirit that we need in our life. It's this communion with God that God's calling us to. And one of the greater things that we need to do as the children of God is to endeavor to stay united to God when we are waiting on God and when circumstances are unfavorable. Lord, keep my heart bound to You. Amen. It's so important that we do this and not allow any kind of separation to come. No wavering at all in the name of Jesus. Now, One of the things that I said is that I want to kind of take this message and turn it a little bit because there is another level or another layer of this that God wants us to grab hold of. Not only do we need to stay filled up, not only do we need that inflow, as we talked about, those the fountain of living water flowing in our life, not only do we need that, not only do we need to stay filled up, not only do we need to stay bound to the Lord, but we need to make sure that we're not doing things that grieve the Lord. There's a series of things that I want to touch on, and there are things in our relationships with one another that can cause us to no longer have the unity of the Spirit that God desires. God's looking at how we treat each other. God's looking at how we treat each other, brothers and sisters. God's looking at how we love one another. God's looking at how we pray for one another. God's looking for how we encourage one another. See, a lot of times we want all the love and affection to come our way. And sometimes nothing's happening in your life because there's no flow going on. You're not one of the things I spoke this morning was when those fountains of living water flow in you, they come out and they're supposed to be going out toward others. Other people are supposed to be seeing those waters come out of you. Amen. Let me begin with this in Matthew chapter 5. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. There's a series of things that we can do, what I've called wrong actions that prevent the flow of God in your life. Now, there's a lot of that, but these are things specific to the body of Christ. These are things specific to how we treat one another. There are direct things that we can do that will prevent the flow of God in our life. Let me start right here, Matthew chapter 5. Verse number 23, Jesus said, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift." The writer here, what we want to see the Holy Ghost is teaching us is that God's not interested in our prayer or our gift at the altar if we've got an issue with one another. I say it sometimes, God will wait you out. If you've got animosity in the house of God, God will wait you out. If you've got an issue with somebody, they took your parking spot. Amen. If you got an issue with somebody, you don't like the way they talked to you last week, and you're going to one-up them this week and give them the cold shoulder. If you don't like the way that they appreciate you and they don't thank you enough, they don't treat you right, you've got some animosity there. And then the word says it would be better for you to get up from the altar. Whatever sacrifice and gift you're bringing God, get up and go be reconciled. Now, I understand there's sometimes situations where maybe the person that we need to be reconciled with is no longer on earth. Or it's not possible for us to communicate with them. Maybe they're in Indonesia. But we have to do what we can. We have to do what we can. If they're not on earth, we give the situation to the Lord. Amen. But this word reconciliation is the exact same word that God's looking for in us with our sins before Him. How many of you know that we're called to be reconciled to God through Christ? Amen? And that same reconciliation God is looking for in the house of God. And it will, listen to me, it will hinder your prayer life to where your prayer is no longer effective. And you may say, "Well, I know how to pray in the Holy Ghost." Listen to me. You are not in union with the Holy Ghost if there's a problem with you and a brother or sister. You may know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost ain't flowing in you if you've got animosity with a brother or a sister in the Lord. God's calling our attention for a reason, because He wants us to endeavor to keep this unity of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in us and flowing through us. and it will hinder our walk with God if we have dissension in the house of God. And I don't even mean only the house of God as in our church. I mean any Christian, any brother or sister. In fact, anybody if you've got aught with them. But one of the things that you'll find is whenever you go to them and you begin to tell them you're sorry and you begin to squash the matter and you begin to say, you know what, I've been rude, I've been unkind, I've looked down upon you, I haven't given you a chance, I've looked past you, I didn't care for you, and I'm so sorry, please forgive me. When you begin to go down that road, what you'll find is your prayer life ignites like a fire. What you'll find is the power and the presence of God will begin to inflame that time that you spend with God. You see, you can fail the grace of God when you allow your flesh to get in between you and the Spirit of God. You can fail the grace of God. You see, this is a matter of pride in the flesh. When you think you can really go down to the altar and pray and bring a gift to God when we've treated other people in ungodly ways. We are failing the grace of God. What we need to do is let the flesh be buffeted so that we can be reconciled. Amen? That's what we need to do. Now, to even go a little bit further on this, Jesus takes this teaching that he's given here, because you might be saying, well, yeah, you know, that's, I don't know about that one. Jesus takes it a little bit further, one more chapter over. Turn with me to chapter 6, verse 14. Chapter 6, verse number 14. How many of you remember the Lord's Prayer? Amen. You start talking about forgiving one another and loving one another, it gets quiet in the church. After the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said this immediately after it in verse number 14. Read with me here. He said, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But, how many of you know that's a big but right there? I want to be forgiven. How about you? If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see, when you're unforgiving toward others, when you're unmerciful, when you're impatient, when you won't forgive their trespass, they knew they shouldn't have done that. They knew they shouldn't have done that. When you're unforgiving towards a trespass of others, look what the word says. Your Father won't forgive you, yours either. That's what it says. There's a direct correlation between the kindness and the forgiveness that you extend towards others and the kindness and forgiveness that you receive from God. And if you don't display those things, God will not give those things. There is a direct correlation between the flow of the Holy Spirit in and the flow of the Holy Spirit out. It is the one and same Spirit of God. And God said, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. We have in the church of God, many times people always think about themselves. How many of you know people that can be selfish at times? People can be selfish at times. And we can be self-centered at times. And we think everything's about us. I didn't like this, and I didn't like that, and I didn't like this, and I didn't like that. But you know, sometimes we need to take the flesh and let that flesh be crucified and lay down our pride and say, you know what, I might not have liked these things, but I need to make sure that there's no trespass between me and you. I need you to know that I love you. I need you to know that, you know what, you might have took my parking spot, but that's okay. I didn't need that parking spot anyways. I really like parking at the end of the parking lot. It's mighty fine. I enjoyed the walk. If you'll be like that and forgive others, what you'll find is God will be open and that flow will begin to operate in your life. But notice that you will not experience forgiveness if you're unforgiving. Many people will come to a preacher and have counsel sessions, you know, and I got this problem and blah, blah, blah. And really and truly, what it really boils down to is they have cut the flow of God off themselves by the way they've treated others. And there is an impasse here that will not be lifted until you begin to operate
in forgiveness. Until you begin to operate and overlook the faults of others. Until you begin to look at others the way that God does. Until you begin to let the love of God flow through you towards others. Amen? How many of you know that we're all in a race? How many of you know that we're all in a race? Raise your hand if you know we're all in a race. We're in a race, but you're not racing against each other. You're racing with one another. Come on. You're not racing against each other. You're racing with each other. That's, you know, we those that belong to God, we root for. Amen? We want to see one another go forward farther and faster than we did. We want to see others grow and surpass us. We want to see them accomplish the things, the plans, and the purpose that God has for them. Why? Because that's what God has given them to do. We've been called to help one another in this race. Amen? Not be a hindrance to one another. I know people in trades, you know, when they get like a rookie plumber or a rookie air conditioner guy or a rookie electrician, the older electricians will not show them any tricks of the trade. You know why? Because they're threatened. That guy's going to take my job. I'm not going to help train that man. He's going to have to figure it out on his own. And I'm not going to help him because I don't want him to take my job. Amen? And they'll actually make those people look foolish at times. Amen. And you know how sad it is that in the church of God, that same attitude sometimes sets in? That we won't take those younger people in and we won't nurture them and help them and guide them, but we look at them as coming to take our job. No, we're all in the same race. And we're not against each other. We're with one another. Amen. And we want to see one another hit the finish line. My greatest thing that I desire as a pastor, not as a man of God, but as a pastor, is to see you hit the finish line. Amen. That's what I greatly desire more than anything, is to make sure that you make it to heaven. Amen. It says here in this verse that if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Many people think that they can just have this thing with God and it doesn't matter how they treat one another, but that is not the way that Jesus looks at it. Jesus looks at it in a completely different way. You know what? It's just me and God, and, you know, I just pray. God's forgiven me of my sins, and I just stay to myself. But if you're operating in unforgiveness towards anyone, you're in a delusion. You're in a delusion. Amen. So make sure that there's no ought between you and someone else. A couple of other places I want to take you to. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me show you this. Now, this passage applies to husbands, but I just want you to see the principle that we're looking at in this. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Glory to God. Many of you know that it's important to have a good prayer life. You can't really have unity of the Holy Spirit without a good prayer life. And there's sometimes, as you see there, if you have aught with somebody, God said, get up from that altar. Amen. Get up from that altar. Go be reconciled. And then if you have unforgiveness, you're not going to receive forgiveness from God. And then here, this passage really kind of drives it home, but it just shows you how God looks at things. How many of you know that the husband, right, is the head of the home? Amen. And one of the things that happens is that the husband can begin to treat people in a way that God doesn't want them to be treated. You go down a wrong road. In 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse number 7. I'm going to skip over the directions that God gives to the wife because I'm not really dealing with marriage per se, but I want you to see what God tells the husbands and what happens in this verse. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Listen to this part. That your prayers be not hindered. So God's called the husbands to dwell with the weaker vessel. That means live. Amen. Not put up with. Not put up with. Not roll your eyes. Dwell with them. And it says to dwell with them with not according to knowledge, meaning to know the situation, to know what they need, when they need it, how they need it. And it says you are heirs together of the grace of life. And the end part is what I want you to see, that your prayers be not hindered. It is possible for the husband to have his prayer life hindered when he treats his wife in a way he shouldn't be treating her. Now, the part I want you to see is that that's a dynamic that God has played out. I've showed you, this is the third example of how someone's prayer life, how someone's unity with God can be hindered by the way they treat others. And a husband that is unmerciful, unloving, not willing to dwell with their wife, not willing to listen to their wife, not willing to guide their wife in the knowledge of God, it says that their prayers will be hindered. How many men of God have had their prayer life hindered because they haven't lived right with their wives? Amen. And I'm not here to teach a Bible lesson on marriage. I'm just showing you that God is greatly aware of how we treat one another. God is greatly aware of how we treat one another, and He wants us to treat one another with tender love and mercy. And when you do, God will show you likewise tender love and mercy. Now, turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me come back into this passage and hit something else in here. Ephesians chapter number 4. This is the passage that we've been dealing with in this message. God wants us to correct wrong actions that prevent the flow of God in our life. There is a flow of God. It flows from His throne, comes by way of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, when you believe on Him, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You should allow that flow, amen, to touch those that need a touch from God. It says in verse number 1, Paul said this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, the part I was getting to in this is that you have a calling. This calling can be hindered. The vocation that God has given you is a special distinguishing grace. And that vocation that God has given you can be hindered if you don't operate in the right way. It matters to God that we stay united with the Holy Ghost and that we allow others to be treated the way God wants them to be treated. And the word there, vocation, is the one where that word means distinguished grace. Now, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. How many of you know that's the way God wants the husband to look at the wife? That's the way that God wants the church member to look at one another. You might say, well, I don't have a spouse right now. I don't have someone in my home. Well, look, we're talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord. God wants you to look at one another with lowliness, with meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. God wants you to humble yourself. God wants you to not allow issues to arise between you and another brother or sister in the Lord. Why? Because you'll be walking in opposition to the Spirit of God. You'll be walking in opposition to the Spirit of God. How many of you know that God loves you? Do you really know that God loves you? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that it matters to God how people treat you? We're going to get somewhere right here. It matters to God how somebody treats you. How many of you have ever loved somebody? Loved a child, loved a spouse, loved somebody? Don't you want them to be treated well? Amen. You want to get on my bad side. When my mom was alive, if somebody treated my mom bad, man, I was coming for them. You don't treat my mama like that, right? It matters to me that people treat those that I love well. Can I get a witness? God loves you more than you've ever loved anyone else. And if you've ever loved someone and you desire that everybody treat them well, then you have to take a step back and realize God loves you and God wants everybody to treat you right. Right? God wants everybody to treat you right. God's on your side. God's on your side. He wants you to walk with the strength of the brothers and sisters around you. He wants you to walk so that your prayer life not be hindered. He wants you to walk in the flow of the Holy Ghost. He wants you to walk in the fullness of God. He wants you to walk in the plan and the place that God has for you. But sometimes people come along and they do things to us, right? They do things to us. And you need to know this. God will oppose them when they come against you in that way. God will oppose them when they come against you in that way. Well, in the same way, God will oppose you if you come against them. God loves that other person just as much as he loves you. God's rooting for them just as much as he's rooting for you. And if you begin to oppose them, you'll find yourself being opposed by God. But if they oppose you, then God will oppose them. This is a relationship that God has set in motion here in the church. And one of the calls that you see at the end of this verse, I didn't finish this. It says, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Man, sometimes we just need to put ourselves in their shoes. Sometimes we need to see things from their perspective. You know, in our own little world, we think everything should be this way. But we don't know what it's like to be in their shoes. We don't know how they're barely holding on. We don't know how hard they're struggling. We don't know that they're doing the best they can with what they have. But the word says, forbear with them. In love. Look over it. That's what the word forbear means. Look over it. In love. We used to have a saying, bless your heart. Bless your heart. You see somebody trying real hard, but they're failing real hard, and you say, bless your heart. You know, sometimes in the church, we need to take a step back and do that with one another and say, you know what? Bless your heart. You took my parking spot. Bless your heart. You're being so obnoxious to me. Bless your heart. You really, really don't care about my life right now, do you? You really don't care about me right now. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Just take that step back and forbear one another in love. And what you'll see is you'll see the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life in a greater way. One of the reasons that God has this message coming out is because we have a great need. We have a great need for the flow of the Holy Spirit. But there are specific things that we can do that will grieve God. And these that we're talking about tonight are those things. In that last part, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor, that means to purpose, to keep the unity of the Spirit. The last part that I want to share with you this evening is in Jude verse 20. So turn with me to Jude verse 20, and I'm going to close over here in this passage. Jude verse 20. There's a flow of the Holy Ghost in us and a flow of the Holy Ghost through us, and if we hinder that flow in any area, this morning we dealt primarily with the Holy Ghost flowing in us. Tonight, we've been dealing with the Holy Ghost flowing through us. But if we hinder God on either side of that, what we'll find is that we've missed the grace of God. We've missed that distinguishing grace of God. How many of you know somebody that's really good at their job? You say, man, that's your calling. You know, God just, you're the best plumber I've ever seen. I mean, that is your calling. That's what the Lord is saying in this passage. God has called you. God has called you. This vocation is a calling to love one another in this way, to stay united to the Holy Ghost. In the same way that somebody's really good at that job, when people are endeavoring to stay united to the Holy Ghost, to the flow of the Spirit of God, God says, that's your calling. That's your calling as a child of God, to stay in that flow. Verse 20, Jude, he says, but you beloved, this part I want you to see, you've got to stay filled up. You've got to stay pure. You've got to stay bound and teachable to God. You've got to stay in a place where your wrong actions are not preventing the flow. And the last one is, you've got to stay built up. It says in verse 20, but you beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How many of you know that God's the builder and the maker of the kingdom? God's the builder and the maker, but you know what? God said you need to build yourself up. Build yourself up. There's a way that God has given us to be built up. And it's not from Hallmark. It's from the Holy Ghost. And he said, when you begin to pray in the Spirit of God, you'll begin to get built up in a way that men cannot build. You'll begin to be built up in the most holy faith. That means you'll be built up in the Spirit, by the Spirit, for the Spirit's purpose. Many people in our generation and in our lives and in our churches today are built up by pride. They're built up by vanity. They're built up by attraction. But God's looking for a church that is built up by the Holy Ghost, that is built up by faith, that is built up by the Spirit of God. And you've got to know that God's looking for you to pray in a way to build yourself up. Sometimes people have a prayer life that is so shallow, that is so shallow that their prayers are like, you know, a little child. They say, Lord, bless me. But you know, God's calling on you to go deeper, to pray in the Spirit of God. Pray as the Holy Ghost leads you. And it doesn't matter how many syllables, it doesn't matter where it directs, but have your heart to say, Lord, I'm willing to pray as you lead. And let the Holy Ghost begin to build. And God will build you up in a way that men cannot build you up. You have to stay endeavored to keep the unity of the Spirit of God. Listen, the Spirit of God is a necessity in your life. He's not an attraction. He's not an extra. He's not just an extra power that you may need every once in a while. You know, sometimes you have the big sledgehammer for the big problem. That's not what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is a necessity. If you think that you can live in the world today without the power of God in your life, without staying in union, without staying in lockstep with the Holy Ghost, then you've missed the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He's come to equip you so that you can be who God's called you to be and do what God's called you to do. If you don't have that union with the Holy Spirit, you will never be able to accomplish the things that God's called you to accomplish. Be the person that God's called you to be. God is inviting us to go deeper, that the flow of the Holy Spirit will come in us and through us toward others. This evening, if you're here tonight and God is dealing with you, and you maybe you've had issues with somebody, maybe as I was preaching on forgiveness, and maybe as I was preaching on the husband not dwelling the way he's supposed to with the wife, maybe as I preached on those things, the Lord began to highlight something in the Spirit. How many of you know sometimes the Lord does that? He'll put his finger on an issue. And you can push it down, but you won't go forward if you keep pushing it down. Right? You see that the first part I read to you in Matthew 5, when Jesus was talking about that man that was praying at that altar, when you realize there's an issue, get up. Get that thing reconciled. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about answering the phone. I'm not talking about, you know, how many of you know whenever you go to pray, that's when the devil will start reminding you of things you need to do. You didn't mop the floor. You didn't unload the dishwasher. If you don't unload it now, you're going to forget. You got to block those things out. But these are not everyday issues. These are, hopefully, these are those issues, though, that will directly hinder your prayer. If there's issues between you and another brother or sister, you've got to let it go. You've got to let it go. That the flow of the Holy Spirit will begin to be as God desires it to be in you. How many of you want the flow of the Holy Spirit the way God wants? I'm not satisfied with the trickle. I'm not satisfied with the mirage. I'm not satisfied with a little. Amen? I want all that God wants for me. Amen? Because I know what happens when I run my life. And I also know what happens when the Holy Ghost flows in my life. And what I want is I want to make sure that that flow is not impeded in any way whatsoever. So this evening, if the Lord's been dealing or showing you something, or maybe you just want to say, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Show me, Lord. Show me, Lord. If I've done somebody wrong, reveal that to me. If I've neglected somebody, if I've not been forbearing with someone, if I've been impatient, unkind, maybe I've operated in a wrong spirit. It shouldn't be things in the church like racism, preferential treatment, cliques, favoritism, nepotism. We shouldn't look down on one another. Amen. Maybe they came from a different part of town than you, but God loves them just the same. God loves them just the same. Amen. This evening, if there's an impasse in the flow of God in your life, I want you to come to these altars and just say, Lord, I want this river to flow in my life. I need you. I need you, Lord. If you'll open up your heart to God, God will come in. God will come in. Heavenly Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to tarry before you. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much, that you want this flow in our lives just as much as we do. And Lord, I pray that not one of us in here would have any kind of issue, Lord, that restricts that flow. Lord, let this be the night that we let some things go that need to go. Lord, I'm asking you, Holy Ghost, I'm asking you, Lord, to put your finger on an issue. Put your finger on an issue in us that we need to let go. Maybe we think we could have done it better. Maybe we think they're just low down sorry. Maybe we just have these ungodly thoughts that need to go. Maybe there's a sin issue. Maybe we're battling unforgiveness. Maybe we just can't fathom the fact that you've forgiven us. We're in unbelief. Or whatever that issue is, if there's a restriction that's stopping the flow of God in us, Lord, I'm asking that you would show it to us and that we would be willing to let it go. And Lord, I pray that those rivers would begin to flow in our lives. It is you that we need, God. It is you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you want to come and pray and respond to the word tonight, or look, if you just want to come and just spend time at the feet of Jesus, these altars are a place where you can do that. In Jesus' name.